It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, from the beautiful Phoenix, Arizona studios of freedomsphoenix.com. And we have an interesting guest for you today. This will go into the archives. It is Chris Simcox. You may remember him from the Minutemen down on the border. And, you know, it was the Minutemen Civil Defense Corps. MCDC. Now, what happened was I have known Chris for, it's probably been 4 or 5 years or so. It's been a while.
At least.
And what happened was, you know, of course, we only got like 4 minutes in this first segment. So I'm going to go ahead and do the prep on this thing. And he said hello, so we know he's here.
I'm here. Thanks, Ernie.
Maybe he'll run away. You don't know. I think he'll stay. Now,
I love the challenge. I was going to say it's an honor to be here with you, but I'd rather say honestly, it's always a challenge to be with you.
Yes, it is. So. We get along fine, but you know we have differing perspectives, and we're going to find out what it is. Because think about this: from my perspective, here is a young man that's running against John McCain. I mean, how hard is that? I mean, come on,
out of the pan into the fire.
You know, what kind of challenge is that? Now, the thing is, though, is that John, man, he makes sure that he is. I remember I ran against him for U.S. Senate as a Libertarian candidate in 2004, and this is what happened. He didn't show up for a single event or even the editorial board until after they already started distributing early ballots. They already started voting before he even made himself available. And of course, they knew he was going to run for president, so they're kissing his rear. And I'm editorial board of Arizona Republic, and they said, well, what do you think of John McCain? And I go, John, are you kidding me? He's the man. I go, John, you're the freaking man. We're at war in two countries, got the economy going to do this, this, and this. I had a long list, and I go, you're the man. You've been able to avoid all of this until after early voting. Then you turn to the editorial board, and you go, yeah, but you guys suck. Because who do you think I blame for this? I want to blame John? I blame you. Now, the thing is, with alternative media, 6 years later, they're not going to be able to get away with this kind of stuff anymore. In fact, I don't anticipate there even being an Arizona Republic by the time we get to the 2010 election.
There may not be.
There may not be.
It wouldn't be a bad thing.
Now, this is the This is the history that I have with Chris. I remember when I was doing my show over at another radio station every day. There was an event that things were going on in the border, and there were people that came and they bought a ranch. It was Ranch Rescue.
Correct.
Now, Ranch Rescue, what they had done, in fact, they even contacted me. You know, my wife's a real estate agent, and they'll help look for a place and so on, and they wound up getting it on their own. But what happened was they bought a ranch on the border, and the deal was, hey, can we protect our own property? I mean, we could protect against trespassers up in Phoenix. But you can't on the border.
Correct.
And they're going, you know, what up with that? And that was a very good lesson. Now, from a libertarian perspective, we're like, of course, you protect your own property. Then the question becomes, you know, what's the proper role of government in protecting property, you know, that's not private? You know, somebody coming across public land, how you do that. And what was interesting to me, you take away all those issues and you're dealing with private property. And what did they do? And were they allowed to? No. Why? Then here comes Chris Simcox, starts the Minuteman thing. Now, what I'm really interested in, when we come back, we're going to find out, where the heck did Chris come from? You know, who's behind Chris? Why did he do this? You know, this is where the real questions are going to get interesting answers, I hope. And we'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Chris Simcox in studio in just a little bit.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the RBN Network. And, you know, from Freedom's Phoenix Studios, yes, we're going to be having some fun each and every day. And you don't even need me to declare your independence. And you know what else you don't need? You don't even need a government form. You just, I declare my independence. Now, what does that mean? Well, we're going to get into that.
Government forms.
No government forms, man. Now, Chris Simcox is in, and we're in, you know, we made sure that we understand each other. He went and spoke at the Arizona Breakfast Club. We got that on videotape. We'll put that up. And he got a grill in there, and he held his ground, and everybody was appreciative that he came by. Now, think about it. You know, I ran against McCain in 04. What's to keep me from doing it again this time? You know, I just assume not. All right. So I'm looking for somebody that's going to keep me. Now, we had last election cycle, we had Sheriff Mack ran against John Kyle. You know, what happens if Sheriff Mack runs against McCain this time? Ooh, that'll be an interesting dynamic. So, you know, who's going to be freeing more minds? Who's going to be, you know, and I'm like, you know, I vote every time I put a sign up. You know, I don't care what the government computers, you know, tell me. You know, I don't care. I don't care, Chris. I just don't care.
I get that feeling. Now, I've had that feeling for years.
So the thing is that what they say means nothing. I bypass all that, go directly into your head right now.
Let's do it.
You know, now, all this right. This is the question. I can go through all the flowery whatever, and I want to know one thing. Where the heck did you come from? I mean, you know, this is, you came from California. I know that.
Right.
I know
right.
You're a school teacher. I know you, after 9/11, you came down to the border. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. I can't believe. You purchased the Tombstone Tumbleweed, which is a newspaper, gave access into the news matrix and start, you know, all kinds of news stuff started going. You start getting a lot of support for that. But, you know, you buy a newspaper. Where'd that money come from? You came from, you have a lot of this pro-border security, anti-immigrant, whatever you want to call it. You know, what are the politically correct terminology? Is now, and you had, that was your roots, I would imagine, in California. So this is your constituency, and certainly the base of your support, not a bad thing, but I want to get this out so that we can get on to other stuff. Who is supporting you? Where did you come from? What is the plan? Tell me.
On September 10th, 2001, my life was just like everyone else's. I had a wonderful private tutoring business that I had started in California, after leaving the classroom, teaching for 13 years, living a very good life, quiet, raising my son. And on September 11th, my life changed, as it did for many of us, and I decided to become an activist. Unwittingly, and you say, I really didn't care about illegal immigration, didn't know, I mean, certainly we knew about it as teachers in Los Angeles. I mean, you had children moving in and out of your classroom all throughout the school year, and you teach them, that's your job. But on September 11th, I became an activist, unknowingly ending up in the desert out here in Arizona and discovering illegal immigration, talking to the local authorities, landowners, and property
owners.
No,
that's a big leap. All of a sudden, you're in Los Angeles, and all of a sudden, you're an anti-immigration.
Not anti-immigration.
Well, border security,
border security,
whatever.
National security.
I mean, there's all of a sudden, what, you got teletransported to Arizona? I mean, how'd that happen?
And it's still surreal after 7 years. And I look at my life before, living a very comfortable life in West L.A. and teaching, actually tutoring the children of many big Hollywood stars, in fact. And I've taught the children of many, many big Hollywood stars and producers and that Hollywood.
And one of them wrote you a check for $4,000 and said, go to Arizona.
No one wrote me a check. I left my business.
How did you make
everything up?
I'm going to speculate if you don't
tell me. I lived
How did you get to Southern Arizona? Why? Who in the heck wants to go to Douglas and Bisbee?
Absolute by chance. I had spent 3 months traveling along the border, again, talking with Border Patrol, law enforcement.
Why?
Because I was interested in doing something for my country. And that just happened to be the thing. Now, I did go and try to join the military after 9/11. I'm the only male in my family that didn't serve, and I felt compelled to serve my country at a different level. Now, as an educator, I've been serving my communities, baseball coach, all of those types of things we do in our local communities. But I felt I wanted to serve my country, and I tried to join Border Patrol, and thank goodness I was too old. And so I decided to become an activist. Only after returning, I was on my way back to California, actually, to finish some business, and I stopped in Tombstone, Arizona. And I was sitting in a local cafe reading their local newspaper, and I looked at the Help Wanted ads, as I always do in any newspaper in any town, to gauge what the economy looks like. And there was an ad for an assistant editor for the newspaper. And the light bulb went off. And I said, well, let me move back here where I know this issue is red hot. I'll start working for a newspaper, and I can write about it. I have a voice. I have a vehicle now to get the word out and to try to educate people at a different level about what's really happening at our borders.
Okay. So, I mean, you know, people are motivated by, you know, the internal voice in their head to do whatever. Your voice was telling you, I need to do something for my country.
Yes.
And you were looking for something to do. You can go in the military. You're too old to be on the border. You're going, and you knew that this, you know, protect us from the evil terrorists, and on the border, it was all pretend. Okay.
Well, that's, some folks say that.
Well, what do
Others
you say?
Don't.
You think it's not pretend?
I know that there are people coming across our borders that mean us harm.
No, I mean that the government was actually, you know, pretending to protect us.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. They've been pretending for a long time to protect us. And that's what – and actually, that's what compelled me more than anything was the Patriot Act, our civil liberties being, you know, tamped down even further, you know, under the chains of tyranny, in a sense that our life would never be the same. And yet I'm out here in the middle of nowhere talking to Border Patrol agents, guys who actually work for the federal government, who say, look, nobody gives a damn. Really, they don't care. We're outmanned, outgunned, and actually I've come to work every day knowing that I could die and nobody really gives a darn. And so I said, wait a minute, there's a disconnect there. Well, I'm not giving up my civil liberties, and I'm not taking my shoes off at the airport and having further ID checks and everything until my government does what it's supposed to do first, which is secure the borders of this country.
Oh, good point. Nice thread there. Now, let me tell you, you know, I've been down to the border to cover this, and I'll tell you what happened. We took a video camera. We went to NACO. You go to NACO, and you see, like they'll show on CNN, this big steel wall that's made of landing pad things they used in Vietnam or
Pretty
something.
Pretty pitiful excuse for a wall, yes.
I mean, you know, it's a wall.
In certain places.
Well, the point is this. You go to NACO. It's a small town on both sides of the board. They used to just, you lived on either side of the board. You went to work and walked back and forth. Yeah. It didn't matter. But now it's like it matters. So what they do is they have, I think the industry there is on the Mexico side. They have some kind of cement factory or something. Hey, can I have a job over there?
Right.
So what happens is you go there and you'll see this wall. And there was a group here, a friend of mine named Steve Porak. You probably know Steve.
Yes.
Now, Steve, he goes down with his friends and they thought they'd do a favor for the Border Patrol, and they would put these big numbers that they have on there to mark. You say, we have an incursion at number 37, you know? So there's just markers that they have every 100 yards or something on the wall there. So they made these big, easy-to-read numbers that had faded. You couldn't see them. They were yellow with the black on it, and they went and started drilling them, you know, screw-tapping them into that metal, which is hard. So they go up there, and I'm videotaping this and going down there and covering this, and then the Border Patrol comes by, and they go, what are you doing? They tell him, oh, that's a good idea, I guess. You know what? And all of a sudden, here comes the supervisor about a half hour later. No, you're not allowed. Oh. You're defacing government property.
I've got another one like that.
Oh,
I actually
let me finish
had one
story.
To tell me not. I couldn't put an American flag on that wall. And I got into it with the supervisor over that.
Of course. Now, so this is the point, though. As I'm doing this, watching this, I look to my left and look to my right, and you can see, you know, it's about a quarter mile or half mile, you know, the fence ends. So I'm going, oh, let's just drive down this road. I want to see where the fence ends. So me and a friend of mine go down there, and sure enough, there's the end.
Right.
And then it's like two strands of curly bob wire, and you just, you know, open it up, and I go, all right, videotape this. I step, I go, I'm in Mexico, I'm in the U.S., I'm in Mexico, I'm in the U.S., I'm in Mexico, and I go, what a joke. Then you keep going down that road, and you go up to a ridge, a rise, and on the other side, you look down, and what's there?
Nothing.
Well, that's that ranch where they were built, where you guys were building the fence.
Oh, yes, right, the Hodges Ranch.
So you go right there and you see this fence. Now think about it. Picture this: you're in an old Western movie, looking out over the valley that goes on for freaking ever,
yes,
and you'll see maybe a couple hundred yards of fence. And I'm going, please. Now I'm going, okay, now this is a good idea for them to build a fence if it's your private property. It's like, you know, it's, hey, mine, you know, have a nice day. I got my, but to think that, you know, all this CNN, Fox News going, taking pictures, if they had the perspective that I had standing on that ridge, it was a joke. Right. Who are we kidding?
That's exactly what compelled me to expose the government's failure and fooling the American people into thinking you're safe. So if we're going to be safe, we're going to hold our federal government just as accountable as they hold us at airports now. I want to know who's coming through Hodges' ranch every night, or John Ladd's ranch, or all of the ranchers we worked with along the border from California to Texas.
This interface that you have with the government, the Bush administration would come out and say, yes, we're going to do it. We're building the fence.
They're doing
across the southern border? Is it there now?
Oh, you should see the fencing we have. In fact, that entire area
there's hundreds of miles
of fencing. In fact, the area where I first started this in Cochise County, from Sierra Vista, from the Coronado National Monument, all the way past Douglas, almost to the New Mexico border.
Well, tell us about this fence. What does it look like now?
A contiguous fence. In places, it's a great fence. In other places, it seems the fence was built to fail. And unfortunately, the government has tricked a lot of people because the Secure Fence Act called for a double-layered fence with improved egress roads that in between. Now, in many areas, what they've done is they've built a double-layered fence, but they built it this far apart.
A few inches apart so you can't get a vehicle
so
in
there. It's two layers. You bet. There's a post and there's two layers of fencing. Well, that's a fraud on the American people. What we want is what we saw in San Diego, what we've seen through that area. Double-layered fencing. Technology, sensors, cameras, paved roads even in some areas. And everywhere the Minutemen have gone, the government has made those improvements. So what we do is we go into an area, we wait and sit until they come in and make those improvements, and then we just jump to the next spot, the next sore spot. We've accomplished over 600 miles of fencing.
Whoa, 600 miles. Now that you've accomplished this...
We've accomplished leading that reform movement.
Now, my point is that, you know, they accomplished it. Are we glad? You know, is it to our advantage? Are we happy that they did this? And what's to come? Because fences keep people in, too. So we're going to talk about this when we come back, and it'll segue into all the other goodies about running for U.S. Senate. We'll be right back with Chris Simcox in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hand.
Yeah, we're back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and in the studio is Chris Simcox, running for U.S. Senate against the evil John McCain. You know, and you know, is he really that evil? I mean, does he have the capacity to be that evil, or is he just a tool?
Either way, it's not good for America.
It's not good.
It's a losing proposition.
Now, one thing I wanted to address. We were talking in the break about that ranch that you built the fence on. IRS is on that guy. Tell me what's up.
They are. And in fact, a lot of people don't know what we had to go through just to build the fence. The Cochise County Supervisors, the only way we could build the fence on private property, we found a loophole in that it was for cattle, for keeping cattle in. Now, a private individual could not build a fence on his property in Cochise County, Arizona, to keep out the illegals. But we found a loophole so that Mr. Hodges could build the fence to keep his cattle in. But now the IRS wants to tax him for it.
How's that happening?
It's $1 million of improvement to his property that the Minutemen provided. That's what they're estimating the value of the fence to be. So they tacked on $1 million, basically held him accountable and said, hey, you forgot to add this $1 million improvement to your property. You owe us $10,000 more in taxes.
Ooh, ain't the government nice?
So the IRS rears its ugly head after we spent months trying to get the darn thing built.
Well, how is the IRS involved? Isn't this a property tax issue?
Well, the IRS now, property taxes in Cochise County, that's what led to the IRS investigation. Of course, the IRS follows us around everywhere, always, you know, our 990s.
You know,
we've been through hostile audits because the government, you know, those who don't like the government returns the favor.
You know, this is, and you got to wonder who that is. It keeps changing, you know, but
right.
This gets to where, you know, the heart of it gets down to us libertarians. Why do we have to have a Berlin Wall, a Gaza Strip, a fence so that you got Mexican coyotes and rabbits and North American coyotes and rabbits?
I may surprise you, and I'll still stick to what I said the day that I announced we were building fence. I'm against fences, and we should not have to build them, and it was a waste of money in many areas. Because what I'd rather see, Ernie, is I'd rather see our U.S. troops and at least the National Guard out there augmenting Border Patrol pointed south and stopping people from entering this country except through a port of entry. That's all we ask. That's all we've ever asked, all I've ever wanted since I started this 7 years ago.
Okay, now this is good. This is where we get into it. if we were to bring all our foreign policy was to change to where, you know, we don't need them over there. You know, if we have any kind of real threat here, maybe it might be at the borders. You know, what the heck? Let's go ahead and do that. Okay, right. Let's secure the borders first, because it was such hypocrisy that you guys pointed out.
Yes.
And there was another, I can't remember the name of it. While I was down there, there was a ranch that was right on a riverbed, and they had the infrared cameras that would show. It's live on the internet. You see the illegals coming in and mules for drugs and so on just come. And they tell, and they had their little, you know, radio-controlled camera planes.
Glenn Spencer's American Border Patrol, and there are a lot of other individuals out there that are assisting Border Patrol all the time.
And I asked him, and I said, okay, so why are you here? I don't understand. What are you accomplishing? He goes, we're just showing that you can secure it,
you
and they're not.
It. And you can do it for pennies on the dollar of what the government wants to charge us.
So that was a very good lesson, you know, for everybody to know. You know, the lesson is that they're, you know, the government, they don't care. They have a whole nother agenda. There's something weird going on that we're not being proven. At the same time, they're telling us how much of a threat we're under. We're at orange, red, orange, red, orange, red, you know. And they're searching trunks going into – this happened, you know, a few years ago. It's like 04, 05. They're, you know, stopping cars when they went to red alert and, you know, going to Sky Harbor just to drop somebody off looking in your trunk.
But they're not checking the backpacks of the million people that came across our borders last year. And Glenn Spencer pulled that off down there. In fact, he videotaped also stepping across the fence with a backpack with a radioactive signature on it, you know, simulated nuke coming across the border, took that, walked it all the way to the federal building in Tucson and walked in the front door with it to prove a point.
Point has been made. Right. Okay. So that's why I'm saying it's all pretend. It's just pretend, man. So I'm going, Neil, can we stop pretending? Now, if we're going to go ahead and bring the troops back and, you know, we have bases on the border, fine. You know, you have bases somewhere. I don't need them in the sands of Iraq. I have them in the sands of southern Arizona. So, you know, fine, whatever. But the thing is that then we get into, do we need that kind of a border? I mean, do we need this mentality that, you know, it's only the government that's always complaining about more customers, you know? They're the ones that's going, you know, we don't want these people coming up that want to, you know, fill these jobs. We don't want to have. And now it's getting to where they're not here anymore. The jobs aren't. They left. No, they went back.
Right.
You know,
is south now, you know, or north.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, it's not quite, you know, I might be wanting to go to Mexico for a job. So, the paradigm is starting to shift, and we're going, yeah, you know, what is the real problem? We would say it's the welfare warfare state. I don't care if you're from Appalachia. I don't want you getting welfare. I don't want you taking my money for some noble cause, de la fill in the blank, and educate somebody else's children. I went to private school with my kids. So, and it was because I didn't want them to be indoctrinated, you know. But the thing is that why are we in this mindset that we, every time I hear about the illegal immigrants, it's how much they're taking our resources. And I'm going, well, what about all the other people taking my resources?
It's how many resources we give away every day. That you
I don't
and
care
I,
who
anyone.
I give them to. I don't
right.
care.
But
I'm like,
the
quit
fact that
stealing
being,
from me.
Right. It's the fact that the government's stealing from the American people and giving it away. And not only that, giving it to people who, frankly, have been attracted here by those benefits, knowing that there's no checks or balances.
So as running, when we come back, we're going to ask Chris that very
good segue.
We're going to ask him that question.
Yes.
Do we get rid of the welfare state? And what about the warfare state? Well, we're going to find out when we come back in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
You don't know how lucky you are, boy. Back in the U.S., back in the U.S., back in the USSR.
Yeah! How lucky are they? You know, did they get rid of just government? Did they just start over? No. The bad guys came and rebooted it.
Rebooted it in a bad way.
You know what they made clear? You know, government's just a gang with a flag. You know, and the mafia kind of ran Russia anyway, so they just go,
but you know what?
It's our flag now.
I've got a piece of that wall, though.
Ah,
it's a nice souvenir,
cool.
Right?
Very cool.
They tore
very
down
cool.
that wall.
Now, you know, this is one thing that we wanted to get into now that we had a good segue into it. You know, I'm if you're going to run for U.S. Senate, and you're going to advocate for, we're going to you know, it's not necessarily close the border. It's, you know, it's patrol the border. You want to come in, fine. You come through here and get your retina scan. I mean, you know, what are we going
to
ask?
And according to McCain, you're steroid testing. Make sure to remember, you can't get in unless you're tested for steroids.
Yeah, whatever. this is the point that I want to get into. So let's say somebody, you know, I come up to the border and I'm like, okay, I'm coming through your checkpoint. I want to come in. Hey, yo, what's up? You know, I'm not coughing up blood or anything. You know, I mean, and your position is what? No. Yes?
No, yes.
What condition?
Are
how?
You kidding? Look, we could go around and round about the whole ID thing, but what I'm a proponent for...
We will. Don't worry about it.
I'm a proponent for, look, we have driver's licenses, and let's not go any further than that. We don't need a national ID, but I would like to see a national ID for visitors that come into the country. You and I can be tracked through our ATM card. Government can find you anytime they want. Law enforcement can find you pretty much anytime they want. Well, we should have the same expectations for the folks that are coming into the country to visit or to do business or to go to school, because many of them are not coming with the same intentions that people used to come for in the past. And people are coming here to take advantage of a failed government or failed systems, again, where we just dole out money all the time to anyone.
So here in Declare Your Independence, you're going to say that we're going to do away with every welfare program, are you? Hmm?
I would like to see 90% of them. Done away with.
Okay,
yes.
Which 10% are you going to keep, man?
Well, for those who are truly some people who are truly indigent or have other physical issues, you know, and things like that, where communities can come together. But it should always go back to the community. I was arguing with someone about this, about our taxing here in the state, and you know, they cut the school budget, the education budget by 2%. Children are dying in the street. You know how teachers are, and I was arguing with a parent about this. But oh wow, we're gonna have to cut some of our sports. I said, well, yeah. If you're not gonna get off your duff and do something, what happened to starting a booster club and you paying for it yourself instead of the taxpayers? If you want your child to play football, you and the parents of the football team should get together and raise the money, not the taxpayers.
You know, but I need to, you're running for U.S. Senate. This is a federal thing. Right. You know, you got 10% of. Some kind of help somebody that needs it. Who gets to decide that? How is it decided? You see, that's why it's so easy for libertarians. They go, well, you guys got an answer for everything, as if that was a bad thing. You know, because we deal in principle. It's like, look, it's not your money. It's my money. Mm-hmm. Why are you redistributing? If you want to get Sally Struthers on the TV to, you know, mm-hmm. tell me about some poor starving kid that I might, and oh my goodness, I might have the money to give, you know, then I would do that. And it would be more effective. In fact, what you were able to accomplish with the Minuteman Project going down on the border was a tremendous success. Mm-hmm. You know, and this was all private. I don't think you got a lot of government checks, did you?
No, we didn't get a lot. It was a movement. In fact, there are books out now, books that have been written by professors who've studied this as a social movement. It wasn't a social movement other than getting people off their duff and focus on the federal government, not on the people coming across the border. Never was really about the people coming across the border unless they're coming to kill, maim, or harm someone.
You know, that was another thing. When you would come in contact with someone that was crossing the border, I mean, you didn't, like, shoot them, did you?
Well, of course not. I mean, we followed
every
rule.
You were advocating that before you had to come across the border to shoot
them. Well, the drug dealers, yeah. But, hey, look, the drug dealers...
Hey, he looks like a drug dealer.
They're just hardworking entrepreneurs, right? According to our federal government and many other people. So, and that's a whole other discussion. What do we do with them? But, no, the folks that are coming across, I do think now... it's an army on the other side of the border that's been created. It's a Fortune 100 corporation that these cartels have become, and there's something to be they're a force to be reckoned with, obviously, because they're about to topple the government in Mexico. But that's free market.
Oh, but
so,
see, no, it's not. It is black market created by prohibition.
You bet it
you
is.
You would not have these people if it wasn't the tremendous profits that's right. created. And we went through this. Where do you think Al Capone came from? You know, I'm just going, you know, the insanity of this drug war, it's so mind-boggling.
By us
the
not
stupidity.
Learning from history and prohibition. Now we have Al Capone on steroids. I mean, Al Capone's now become, like I said, a Fortune 100 international corporation.
But you're advocating, you know, we got to up the drug war and go lay waste to the cartels here in the United States. You want to lay waste to them? Legalize drugs.
It's one or the other.
Decriminalize them.
It's one or the other.
Well, justify?
One or the other.
All right, so tell me. Well, if you came out and you said, I'm for eliminating prohibition, you know, Sheriff Mack is. He's part of law enforcement against prohibition. You know, this is he was a sheriff on, you know, near the border. Cochise County is right down in southeastern Arizona. He's going, look, man, I know. I mean, he was law enforcement before that, working on drug, you know, deals and stuff. He goes, I know. This is a freaking farce. This is just pretend. So I'm going, you know, for you to have any other position other than eliminating the gazillions of dollars that would be funded in any kind of opposition, somebody going after these cartels here, as long as you got the money supply there, I guarantee you they got some young whoever with an AK-47 that they can hire to fight you.
You bet. An unlimited supply of cheap labor, and this labor's not that cheap. I mean, it's much more lucrative to work for the cartels because they pay better. But you asked before when we started this, what got you into this? Why you? Why would you do this? Where did you come from? Well, that's exactly, you've opened the Pandora's box. That's what it's all about. The border issue really wasn't my concern, but it was a way to connect the dots to the rest of the hypocrisy that's happening in Washington, D.C., and how we're allowing our liberties and our freedoms to be, like I said, tamped down further all the time by accepting a little bit more. My job, and frankly, what can I do as one U.S. senator in 6 years, in 1 6-year term? I'm not going to BS people. I'm probably not going to get much done at all other than railing about what's going on, exposing more hypocrisy, and at least not voting for yes for things that are going to continue to, again, limit our liberties.
Are you going to vote to continue this drug war without getting rid of the zillions of dollars that are going to defeat anybody that, I don't care how much body armor you got. I don't care how many military you have. You go trying to shut these guys down, they'll get you in your bed. That's what's happening in Mexico right now.
Yes.
You have any kind of effort from the government and the military to stop these guys, they go, oh yeah, son bitch. Right. Guess what? You dead.
And right now, it's only the only thing that keeps them from doing it on this side of the border. It's bad for business. It's a norm. It's a cultural norm south of the border. Here, it's not necessarily the norm, although we see it on the headlines every now and then. And we go, oh, that's a terrible situation. And then it just goes away. And it happens every day across this country. We have two choices. Yes, right now, I advocate for putting the U.S. military and National Guard on our borders and working cooperatively with Mexico. At this point, to get rid of what has become an army, really. I mean, not just an army. I mean,
what, you mean going
troops
into Mexico?
Yeah, I'd like to see a one-mile DMZ zone on both sides of the border right now for about 2 years.
Well, why not 20 miles?
And I would like to see a 2-year moratorium
on
any immigration into this country until we get the system fixed, until we can determine what system's going to work and stop people from coming in illegally.
All right, so I can lower my blood pressure. We're going to go to Barry Hess online from the network. Chris knows Barry. Go ahead, Barry.
Good morning. Hey, good morning, Chris. How are you?
Doing great, Barry. Good to hear you.
Excellent. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking what might be a better idea or an idea that will play, rather than you having to parse out which 10% of these socialist welfare programs that you want to keep, because I'll guarantee you will be picked apart if you try that. The better alternative, and I spoke to Senator Kyle about this, and he laughed. He knows it's right, and it would solve the problem right off the bat. And the answer is make them, if you want to have them, make them all voluntary. In other words, people who think we should have the welfare programs should pay taxes. People who don't should be left alone.
Yeah, you're allowed to have Social Security, and you got to pay for it.
Well, exactly. But Barry, that just goes back to what I was talking about. It should be the private industry. It should be our local communities. That means you are voluntarily going to contribute part of your expendable income into a charity. Now,
absolutely,
this charity would just be maybe managed by the government, which I don't like at all. It would be much better served. Those people who are in need would be much better served by their local communities, so that we know those dollars are going to the right person.
You know, so people know who Barry is. Barry's a good friend, and he's a libertarian candidate for governor here in Arizona last two election cycles. And he's, you know, where a lot of libertarians don't get the attention in their states like Arizona. I mean, we're included in the debates. You know, we get a lot of attention. He participates and makes it interesting and shows them for what they are. Now, of course, you know, Barry, I want to give you, you know, as you run for governor, you know, national, I mean, you know, certainly statewide, and then, of course, it goes online, national exposure on your philosophical bent and the drug war. You know, what's your take on this?
I see us as such a growing movement, and Chris, you're very much part of that. It's people stepping away from traditional government in the traditional government line. Here, we've got to control everything attitude. People are starting to ignore government, which is the most beautiful thing in a free country I can imagine. Just ignore them.
Maybe they'll go away.
Maybe. We can only hope.
Maybe not.
We can only hope. And I agree, Barry. It is about a movement. I mean, the Tea Parties exemplify that. And, of course, our movement on the border is another one. It's about people who are tired of sitting around complaining, who are actually getting up and doing something. I'd rather be known as a doer, make mistakes along the way, but get something done rather than sit around and complain about it and allow my children to be shackled anymore by the federal government in the future.
Okay, go ahead and stay right there, Barry. Just hold on for a second. I want to ask Chris some questions. Tell me. I need your position as a U.S. senator, you know, on foreign policy, you know, when we should engage or not, if ever. Then we got your position on, you know, the border and immigration. You can come, but, you know, you go and you get your retinal scan or something. And then we have, the social programs. You got 10% you're going to pick from. We don't know what that is, but I'm sure you'll get clearer later. But the one thing that I really want to focus on right now is checkpoints, okay? Now, we have here, we've covered a lot of these issues, and I knew when they started this drumbeat for we got to get rid of these immigrants, which, you know, bad economy, they're leaving anyway.
They're not immigrants.
But, whatever they are, you know, people from the other side of this border that are now here. I mean, what do you want to call them? And because I don't recognize, you know, that's a government line.
I don't care. The people who are showing blatant contempt for our culture.
Well, you don't like libertarians very much. Anyway, so no, I mean, you know, when you say culture, that's a good
it's
word.
It's built on the rule of law.
Yeah, but what's the
I'd
culture?
I'd like to see fewer laws and less government, but what we have needs to be respected.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, who disregards that more than anybody is the freaking government. You know, so
that's part of why I want to go to Washington, D.C. Okay. And at least expose what's going on.
So this is my question. Here we have Pastor Anderson, you know, he goes to a checkpoint, it's 60 miles north of the border. We're traveling around here in the Southwest. ACLU comes out with this 100-mile Constitution free zone crap. You know, I'm going, wait a minute. If you're going to have this drumbeat for everybody's got to be able to demonstrate and proof and bring their papers so that they can show their citizenship, you know, where does it stop? And we had a Freedom Summit in 2006 where that was one of the debates. We had Frosty Wooldridge, you know, on one side debating Bumper Hornberger from Future Freedom Foundation on the other, and some other guys were involved. And it was very interesting in that the logical conclusion is you have to have somebody from the government able to determine your citizenship in this country. And checkpoints is what's happening. Your position on that?
No checkpoints. I take great exception to them. We need to remove them. That's why I'm for the DMZ zone, the check-in, check-out zone, being along that 60-foot right-of-way, which is controlled by the International Boundaries and Waterways Commission, another government bureaucracy. But that's where our troops need to be. That's where the checkpoints need to be. Once you come past that point, I need to rest assured in my community that I know that the next check will be if you interface with law enforcement or if you are here to work. And then that's up to the employer, which is why I do like the Arizona Employer Accountability Law.
There's two things. One,
I like it because it's a state law that's complementary to the federal law, which, by the way, the feds don't enforce it, but we can at the state level.
And they're selective on it. You know, I was a restaurant owner for years. You know, and they come in, you know, I look at the I-9, which you fill out, and it says, this person has presented the documents to me, and they appear to be genuine to me that they have a right to work. And I'm like, here, fog this mirror. You got a right to work. You know, that I have to go and have as a third-party arbiter, I have to get to go into a voluntary contract with another human being that I got to ask permission of Uncle Sam just drives me freaking crazy.
Well, I understand that, but we have a
because
system
you're taking
that would work
on,
and it would
see,
make
that's
it
the problem,
very
is this
simple.
System.
We need to clean it up. Look, this is a way that we also clean up the domestic fraud that's going on in Medicare, Social Security, and these other giveaways that we have. Let's start with cleaning
Stop
up the
fraud. Stop taking the money. I don't got to worry about
it. Well, yeah, I know. True. Let's do that, too. But
you
while
know, I
got to
get this
it,
out, or people
we have to get rid of the fraud.
I got to get this out, or people are going to slit my throat. You know, and when you're in amongst your own crowd and so on, you get them all whooped up and everything. You're going for the, you know, and Pastor Anderson issue comes up. You know, you've been quoted as saying, hey, you know, if he just answered the question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he just answered the question, if he just participated, if he didn't
Choose
assert his rights.
Choose carefully. That's what you need
he
to
did.
Do. Okay. If that's what Pastor, so I'm not going to, if that's what he wanted, if that was his goal, then I guess a couple of bumps and bruises and being tasered was worth making a point.
Somebody had to. Somebody, there's a lot of people are. I mean, you know, we had a lot of people, you know, Terry Bressey, you know, Checkpoint USA is doing this. We had Pastor Anderson. So this is an important issue to a lot of people because, and what's interesting about him is he's a pastor, okay? He's a businessman that travels a lot between Phoenix, New Mexico, and California. He got sick of this anal probing every time he had, you know, he's driving on the highway, so he's just, I'm not playing anymore. And they let him go after whatever. Finally, this time, they didn't want to play. And, you know, they break his windows, taser him, and then, of course, they didn't find anything. Bad news for everybody. He's on nationally. It's a big deal. So now they're, you know, having to, and what was interesting is he speaks fluent Spanish, and the people, the border guards, were all Hispanic, talking Spanish. He's listening to them like, you know, this is like gets more interesting as it goes along. Plus, he has five beautiful little blonde-haired children, you know, that all under like 8, 7, you know, and so that's always good for the tube. And then, what, his wife is from Eastern Europe. And she's going, yeah, well, I lived this. My family right. lived this. We know where these checkpoints go. And he understands this, and his family is supporting him because his whole side of his mother's family and in-laws know exactly where America is going because they saw it.
I would work and vote for removing those checkpoints tirelessly. That would be a point of contention would be, no, I want those checkpoints on the border, not 50 miles north where you and I have to be subjected to. Show your papers.
Man, you better be singing that loud and clear every single time to avoid me giving you a bunch of crap.
That's what I believe in.
All right, man. We'll come back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Chris Simcox holding his own. We'll be back in just a little bit. And you can call in, too, if you want. Nah, not enough time. You had your chance. Hey, thanks, Barry, for calling. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
In constant sorrow through his day, I am the man of constant sorrow.
You know, I mean, here on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, and in studio, Chris Simcox. And the one thing that I want to make sure that we get onto is foreign policy, all right? We have this enormous, the most powerful force in the known universe, save God. You know, we got this this strong arm of the man, you know, well, but it's our man. It's Uncle Sam, man.
Right.
That makes him good.
Looking
he's a good
out
guy.
For our interests.
Oh, yeah, he's a good guy. You know, and we're going to, you know, take and slap around who, where, what,
pretty much
for
anyone
why.
We want, right.
Yeah, but so. Why? I mean, come on. So tell me, what is your foreign policy? We're going to be using this military for what, when, under what conditions?
Bring the military home, stop invading foreign countries, stop pissing off the rest of the world. Excuse my language, all of those proper Republicans out there that are listening. But look, put them on our borders, send the world a message. Look, we have the technology, we have the tools to reach out with a big stick if we need to send somebody a message. But we need to be very careful about what message is being sent and how we're interfering with other people's
business. Why
are we
sending messages? I mean, that's like Teddy Roosevelt thing. You know, the great white fleet going sailing around the world, South America going, yeah, we'll come kick your butt if
right.
you mess with it.
Look, I still feel that way. I think power, might is peace. And the stronger we are with a standing military and the tools that we need to reach out and send people the message, if they want to mess with our freedom and our liberties
wow.
or our interests, then that's fine.
Well, how? Under what circumstance? When am I going over to some, you know, let Texaco have their own damn submarines.
I don't think we should
but
be
Exxon
going
Valdez
anywhere.
Exxon get their own 16-inchers. You know what I'm saying? We don't have these merchant ships armed and pirates, you know, these little boats go and take over a ship. I'm like, that's just embarrassing. That's just stupid.
Well,
so I'm like, why are we having these this U.S. Navy, you know, subsidizing them going getting cheap whatever somewhere else? You know, this is all just market manipulation, and it's this empire for certain people. It's just stupid. So stop. Where would you have our Navy? How far out of our borders? Are you still having them around the world?
Depends upon where.
Are you closing bases?
Our interests are. I would like to see bases
closed. Our interest?
Closed.
Oh, you're killing me.
I would like to see our bases closed, and I'd like to see our troops come home, and I'd like to see them back in the private sector.
All right, define our interest. What's our interest in Asia? Where's our interest there? Why would we have interest?
I don't think we have any interest in Asia.
Okay, so bring all our interest back here inside the border.
You bet. That's exactly what I would advocate doing, and that's the way I would vote as a U.S. senator. I would vote for.
Well, you heard it here, folks, man.
Okay. Because remember, the way I vote, as in the classic sense of what our founding fathers had intended the Senate to be, is a firewall against the federal government violating or oppressing our rights as a state. Okay, so my job is to protect our state interest first, and our national interest is basically to vote no on 99.9% of the stuff our government's getting involved in, which ultimately is going to be means they're going to be part of our life.
Yeah, you know I want to talk about that 1% or 1/10%.
You know. You always, I shouldn't have left
everybody,
the door open.
I know,
right?
Everybody always says this. Right? You know, that's why we have absolutes. You know, it's like never, ever, ever, ever.
I don't
do
say
you
never.
Use the, why, oh, see, I, you know, well, that's what this campaign is going to be about. You know, it's going to be a discussion because once you break a principle, then it's just a matter of degree. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. You're in the GOP primary against John Flippin' McCain.
Yep, SimcoxForSenate.com.
SimcoxForSenate.com. You know, that's interesting that, you know, how is John McCain going to address Chris Simcox and your position on this stuff? It's going to be interesting.
I'm looking forward to the debates.
Oh, yeah, John, you're welcome to come down here, man. We'll get you
come
in the
on
chair.
Down. Studio's
yeah,
open,
come on
right?
down.
Anytime.
We'll invite him, you know. We'll...
He's been everywhere else. I wouldn't put it past him just to show up on your show as well.
No. Well, you know, well, he's got the invitation. We'll make the invitation.
We'll make it.
We'll make the invitation. We'll get Jed on it, man. Go beat him up. Well, hey, thanks for spending time with us. It's great for you to come in, Chris,
and
face the gauntlet. And we'll see you tomorrow morning on Declare Your Independence.